Hello, Aries, and welcome to Good as Gold, the 2014 mid-year reading from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis, your astrologer, here to walk you through the territory of where creativity meets self-esteem, meets money, meets one's ability to do business. This is something of the riddle of the Sphinx in our era. How exactly is it that you get to the place where you can actually make a living on what you love to do? And this is a vexing question for many people. I don't mean to underestimate the challenge in this by attempting to answer the question in a 45-minute reading for your sign. And my main intention here is to provide some ideas and some encouragement and some information about timing factors that are involved right about now, and also to explain some of the ways in which you may have made progress that you're not aware of and some potential pitfalls that may be there that, you know, you may be able to either go around or build a bridge over. The main concept of this reading is to weave together the themes of mainly three astrological houses, 2, 6, and 10. Those are the houses that deal with one's money and one's resources, one's profession, one's work and well-being, not exactly in that order, and then to weave into that the placement of Jupiter in Leo and what's going on in Leo. Now, naturally, other themes are going to come up. There are some powerful, long-lasting aspects that, for example, one of which influences your first house, the sign Aries, your rising sign, or your sun sign, depending. And I think this is actually a pretty good place to start this discussion, because there are some very restless, revolutionary, verging on genius placements in Aries right now, in particular Uranus, which can be inventive on one level. And by inventive, I mean like the airplane, the light bulb. I don't mean, you know, grandpa tinkering in the garage. However, let's not knock grandpa tinkering in the garage, because ingenuity manifests in the garage many times, and companies like Apple Computer and Yahoo and so forth have started in garages. Now, let's take these influences one at a time, and mainly, well, there's three. There's right now Uranus, the South Node, and Eris. Eris is a newly discovered planet. I give it the full force of a modern planet such as Pluto or Uranus. It was discovered in around 2005. It was named in 2006, and it has spent all of its known time since it's been discovered in Aries. It actually entered Aries in the 1930s, I believe, and will be in Aries for another 20-ish years. So this is a feature of Aries in our lifetimes. Now, Uranus is that one that brings genius, but it also brings distraction, particularly in Aries, distraction by glamour, and in this case, the glamour of technology. So I'm going to begin with something about how not to sidetrack yourself, first of all, which is make sure that you're using your technology for creative purposes. And by creative, I mean really creative. I mean creating your art, creating your music, creating your business, creating social change. These are all subsets described by Uranus in Aries. This is a highly motivating placement, and your sign is the sign that none other than Alice Bailey says is the sign that turns the key on the ignition of existence. So Aries is very good for initiative, and I have seen less good at follow through. So with Uranus in Aries, you've got a lot of initiative. You have the power to begin things. What you need is the power to complete them. And fortunately, there are placements that will grant you that if you seek it out. But I would suggest that if you're planning to be productive, you must go deeper than appearances. Based on my research into the human race, I would say that most people could use to go anywhere from 10 times deeper to 100 times deeper than appearances. Going deeper than appearances doesn't just mean finding out someone's name as opposed to how they look, or maybe what part of the country they were born in. Going deeper means getting to know someone until you understand them, or working on something until you are really able to make some observations about how the work is going. And one thing I would remind you about the inventive properties of Uranus is that at least in the case of two of the most significant inventions of the modern world, the light bulb and the airplane, Uranus bestowed, or at least was suggestive, not only of breakthrough and transcendence, but there was a long period of development that led to both of these inventions. In the case of the airplane, they kind of had it, and then I believe they had to take another year to get the engine right. They had to make an engine light enough to be able to get off the ground with the plane. In the case of the light bulb, Edison said he tried 1,000 different substances to get the filament right. He tried 1,000 times to get that right. And so the persistence necessary to start anything will pay off for you. So I suggest you be ready for a process of invention and then reinvention and then reinvention. Now, the other planetary influence in Aries is Eris. And Eris is, well, there is something of a streak of genius to Eris, but it is sometimes expressive in the form of evil genius. And so I would encourage you to take the positive view of that and view yourself as a subversive, because that's the kind of, that should probably be the first keyword of Eris, is subversive, because that's, you know, the main gesture for which we know Eris is a subversive gesture, rolling the apple of discord into the party where all the gods and goddesses were gathered and all that. And so I've seen Eris operate subversively many ways, and remember that this can be a very useful skill to have and tactic to use when, for example, you're not getting in the door through some normal means. You may just want to figure out how to get into the conference or get into the opening or get an appointment or get a meeting, however you have to do it. But, you know, remember that karma is created in the process of doing almost anything. And so therefore, you know, keep it for the good cause. Try not to hurt anyone and take every occasion to be honest when you can. But a little subversive, mainly being clever, that is necessary very often on our planet. Now, the third placement in your first house is evocative of something I'm going to get into when I talk about your second house, which is Taurus, which is the south node. And the south node can represent a point of being stuck, and it's in your first house. And it's saying that there is something of an element of necessity being described by Uranus and by Eris in your first house, and that is to shock you, to shake you, to get you out of a potentially stagnant self-concept. Now, one of your natural tendencies is to seek, let's say, some improvement from a stuck self-concept by engaging with others. But I would suggest that obsession with partnership in any form, be it business partnership or romantic partnership, is going to distract you, and that it's not the way that you want to be going. So there's a need to change and to grow and to be flexible and to move, but not to have the usual hedge of getting some relief from who you are by entering into a relationship with someone where you kind of change the constellation around you but don't inherently change yourself. Then you return essentially to the same self-concept that you possessed prior to getting into the relationship. And so one of the overriding messages of your chart in terms of what you get done is independence is very important at this time in your life, and not to overemphasize the need for assistance from others or financial involvement with others to the greatest extent that you can. Keep this process independent of others. Now, there's always going to be involvement with others on some level. There's always going to be some commingling and some kind of intersection with other people and with their resources. However, the more independent you are, the better. And that's calling forth a kind of a streak that's been running through your life, really your whole life, but really started to take effect around 2011, where you just needed to be your own person. Now let's go to the second house. That's Taurus. Now, the second house is the seat of self-esteem and self-love in my reading of astrology. Now, as Rob Hand once said to me, all modern astrology is psychological astrology. In traditional astrology, before psychological astrology was invented, indeed, many, many years before the science of psychology emerged, potentially walking on the kind of foundation of astrology, the second house was about one's personal resources, available cash, what you actually have, what you possess, what is yours. And in some ways, there's not a better sign to have in this part of your chart than Taurus, because it indicates so much in the way of resources. However, Taurus has a miserly quality to it. Not all Tauruses have that, but you can often find this associated with the sign Taurus where it manifests. And so you want to beware of that. Beware of a lack of generosity with yourself in things such as encouragement and in things such as making sure that you're able to focus resources where you need to focus them rather than where they don't have to be, where you don't need them, where they're not going to build for you or get a return for you. And the other thing about Taurus, there's three things. The second thing about Taurus is that it has a tendency to get stuck on the thought level and not take action. And so there is necessarily a limit to how much thought you can put into the action you're going to take before you take that action, if you're ever going to follow through and do something, follow through and actually create something. And so what I would encourage you to do is to make sure that you're not getting lost in your head, that you really are able to be grounded enough to be in the physical, tangible world of action. And remember that action can be reversed most of the time. I understand there's some things that, you know, for example, money that's invested cannot always be fully recovered or recovered at all. Obviously, you want to be very conscious about that. But you definitely want to be in the world where you are actually considering actions rather than thinking about them. Okay, the third thing about Taurus is that it is a fixed sign. And the one property that all fixed signs have in common is that they tend to be stable in who and what they are. And this is one of the best things about Taurus, is that its persistence can really get results. But the part of Taurus that can be challenging is that it is necessary to make adaptations. And so while you're drawing on one of the most important resources you have, which is the persistence of Taurus, make sure that you are also working with and compensating for or kind of continually evaluating the fixed quality of Taurus, and that you are able to make new decisions about what you want, new decisions about who you are, to reevaluate something and therefore change your values, because that second house is all about values. It's kind of like the values bank. And very close to values is the concept of ethics. And so what I would encourage you to do is to make sure that these things are flexible enough that you can adapt and change on a regular basis. Okay, so this begins to touch on the concept of self-esteem. The main trap I would caution you of at this early stage in this discussion is placing your self-esteem into the hands of other people in any way, that you are consciously not saying, I will feel good about myself if this person feels good about me, right? I will approve of myself if they approve of me. That's something to avoid. And there's a number of factors in your chart suggesting that you might go to relationship for that kind of affirmation. It's nice to have affirmation, but it's also helpful to not need it, because really anything that's ever been done that turned out to be brilliant was criticized at first by many people as being stupid and pointless. And while you don't want to seek out people to tell you how stupid and pointless your ideas are, just remember that the concept of a thing getting off the ground and flying was deemed to be impossible many times, even though birds just sort of do it on a regular basis. The notion that humans might do it was considered idiocy by many people for a long time, until that was defied. And so be self-affirming. If you're looking to your environment for encouragement, especially if you're doing something different, you're likely to find that you're not going to get so much encouragement, because few people can see the benefit of the ideas that you are experimenting with. Okay, let's take the sixth and the fifth houses together. The fifth house is the house of creativity. It's where you've got Leo. It's also the house of risk-taking, and it is the house of sex for the purpose of play. It is sex for the purpose of pleasure. And the sixth is the house associated with work, with well-being, with service, and with healing. And it's interesting that they're adjoining houses. And I suggest you take them as one place in your chart, because it's necessary to have that daring, creative element of the fifth, and then that persistence, willing to stick it out and get the work done, and then the emphasis on service also of the sixth house, right? The fifth is a very self-serving house. Art is not, supposed to, be designed to help people. You know, be kind of silly if he said, I'm making this painting to help people. But you can say that you're doing lots of other things of a more sixth house nature that are designed to help people. But the fifth, I think, to be itself, for true creativity to be itself, there has to be kind of an autistic quality about it. Something that is verging on the obsessive side, that doesn't necessarily take the impact on others into account. And that is a point of focus here. So I'm suggesting here that you don't obsess over service initially, but that if you are kind of hatching something that is more creative in nature, that you give yourself lots of room to focus on the creative aspect, on the play aspect, on the game aspect, all things that are associated with the fifth, and that there is a childlike pleasure associated with what you are doing. Now, you have Jupiter transiting this house for a year, just entered a couple of weeks ago, and this is, luck doesn't get much better. I could think of a couple of ways, but the image of luck doesn't get much better than Jupiter in Leo in the fifth house. And it is certainly going to work for having fun. But this can be a distraction similar to Uranus in the first house. You don't want to have so much fun that you don't get things done. This can be a drag, on one level, and then you just have to decide what your priorities are. I don't get a lot of free hours during the day, and I happen to live right down the street from a really excellent rock club called BSP Lounge, where all kinds of awesome independent music comes through town. I'm a permanent guest. I can walk in anytime I want. I'm always welcome there. And many times I have chosen to not go out in service of practicing my own music. And so that's a value decision that I make because it is important to me to advance in my musical studies, which are difficult, which take time and devotion. Then there's these moments of breakthrough. But I know that if I go out, for more than half an hour, if I get kind of caught up in an evening out, I'm not going to have the energy to come home and practice when I do. So I make a choice. And you may have to make some of those choices because the energy of play is really strong in your charts. Now, ideally, work would become play. There would be something very playful about your work. This is, of course, different than going out to a music venue and hanging out with your friends. However, that element of play is something to work for and to allow into the whole process. And, you know, there's room for collaboration, but I'm not quite sure where I see that collaboration exactly. However, let's take a look at the sixth house. Now, the sixth is a house of work and well-being, and it's part of that original work, productivity, money, career triangle of houses 2, 6, and 10, which houses work very well together. If you happen to be in possession of your natal chart, give those houses a close look. I'm using your solar chart, which I begin with Aries rising. The charts work in parallel. They should inform one another rather than compete with one another. I'll probably do a Planet Waves FM on this subject and be able to sort of peer into the parallel universes of the solar chart and the natal chart. But in any event, you can do that on your own and take a look at houses 2, 6, and 10. If you need some help, post to Planet Waves, ask an astrologer friend, post to one of my Facebook pages, and someone will see it and maybe provide some information. Meanwhile, in your solar chart, house 6, Virgo, has some very interesting information in this house. And I'm picking up a story that I don't necessarily have the astrological basis to say, though it's based on a collection of planets, Apollo, Atlantis, Lilith, and Heracles. And the message I'm getting out of this is there may be some element of your experience in the past where you feel like you abused your creative power or your healing power, or you may have the sensation that you abused your creative power, healing power, or power of technology, as both Virgo and Atlantis can indicate as well. And if that is true, I suggest you be familiar with that scenario and be careful of the ways you judge yourself about it. The chances are that whatever happened is forgotten. If you have any reason to suspect that whatever happened is not forgotten, then you need to consciously make kind of a moral inventory, I guess, as a 12-step program would say, and make sure that you are aiming to do things in a way that is above boards, that is honest, that is friendly, if this is an issue. Now, there's another subtopic here, which is the way that you apply technology. And the main problem that our culture has with technology is it is used unintentionally, and we're all walking around with these overpowered devices that we can pick up the phone and communicate with a satellite and call China, and we're not doing shit with them for the most part. Yes, you hear about the people who make the movie on their iPhone, and they get into the Cannes Film Festival, and so on and so on. Yeah, that all happens. And somebody someday will take a Pulitzer Prize winning photo on their iPhone. But I kind of don't think so. The intent of technology is, I think, the main thing that is indicated by this grouping of planets, Apollo, Atlantis, Lilith, and Heracles. This is somewhat of an intuitive reading of this, but I think I'm onto something. And I would say that this grouping of planets is calling for a full evaluation of the way you use technology every time you touch technology. Study your phone bill. See how many texts you send. Determine what they're for. Consider how much bandwidth you use reading the internet. Determine What's that for? What are you doing? How do you manage to do that? How many hours a month do you spend on the phone? Have you considered the impact on your health from spending time on your cell phone? If you looked up, if you looked up the health issues associated with use of a cell phone, you might want to soak it in a bucket of water because they are real. And what this grouping of planets is saying is there is a real question about whether technology is helping you or not. Your job as a creative person, your job as an entrepreneur, your job as someone who wants to be productive and creative and participatory is to make sure that you focus your technology on affirmative, healing, creative, growth-oriented, loving, friendly, helpful, community-oriented goals. To not use technology for all of these narcissistic purposes that people seem so obsessed about using it for. You might want to ban selfies, for example. Okay, now, so that's the fifth and the sixth. And there's an interplay there. There's a caution coming from both houses about how it's possible to be distracted and it's possible to use technology in ways that are uncreative. And so the creative impulse can be burned off by the desire to have fun. And there's nothing wrong with having fun, and fun is necessary to support creativity, except that there's only so many hours in the day, and if you have something you want to accomplish, it's important to get that persistence going. Used well, your fifth and sixth, Leo and Virgo, will work very well together by providing you the combination of inspiration and a sense of adventure and the pleasure of doing things, as well as the ethical quality of Virgo, the persistence of Virgo, the service orientation of Virgo. And imagine if you could get those two houses working as one house. The place they do work as one house is right along that fifth, sixth house cusp where they meet. And this is the place where basically the art studio backs into the office, where they're connected and where there's one part of the room that's used for organizational functions and another part of the room that is used for the more free-form, experimental, and creative functions. Okay, let's take two houses again at once here while we're working our way around the circle. Then I just have two houses to cover after that. The seventh and the eighth are the primary relationship houses. That is to say, they're houses that do describe primary relationships. The sixth is a relationship house also, but it tends to describe working relationships. And those are always things to bear in mind and to be cognizant who exactly you want to be working with and who you want to share your ideas with. I do suggest that you be conscious and careful about that. But let's look at the seventh and the eighth houses, where we get into the realm of formal partnership, marriage, and shared resources. Your charts are indicating something of an obsession with this topic right now. You're drawn into this in a powerful way. You have been for a long time. Mars has been retrograde in your opposite sign, Libra, for a chunk of 2014. It was in Libra from December through May of 2014. That's a long time, right? That's almost 8 months that your ruling planet, Mars, was in the house of partnership. And while on one hand, Mars going direct and then moving into Scorpio, leaving your seventh house was a way of shaking that off, in some ways, this is going deeper because Mars is in Scorpio. And the eighth is an extension of the seventh, only it takes you in deeper and the bond is more permanent and more difficult to dissolve. And the investment is much more on the emotional level for you with Scorpio there and less, for example, on the structural level. And so the main potential pitfall that I see in your advancing yourself is what role relationships have. And so this is something you need to assign very carefully and be careful about surrounding yourself with people who are genuinely affirming of your work and of your working relationships, if they're not someone that you have a working relationship with, rather than anyone who speaks in any way negatively or who eats up your time, anyone who prevents you from getting your work done, anyone where there is a sense of drama, and so forth. There looks like a situation is brewing in your life where you are advancing towards something from which you know you're going to need to break free. You might want to make sure that if you have identified that as a thing you want to do, not to let it get too invested in drama, and to make sure that you are able to make a transition, if that's actually what's happening, in the most straightforward way that you can. That would include not feeling guilty about it. It would include taking your losses if you need to, cutting your losses if you need to, and making sure that you make a clear decision rather than have one made for you. And this may be a business partnership of some kind. One way to play out these aspects is to say that you want to be more independent, but there's a business partnership of some kind that is keeping you, or a personal partnership of some kind that is keeping you involved. It may very well be a situation involving finances, since it is the eighth house in Scorpio that we're talking about. And I would say that, above all, there is no thing better than to preserve your independence in your future endeavors. There's always another opportunity to get involved with someone. There's always another opportunity to have someone in some way shape or influence your life. And that's not going to help you evolve as an independent person, as someone who doesn't need too much influence and interference or approval. And you want to make sure that you are flexing the muscle of freedom and of autonomy rather than the one of overdependency of some kind. And this is a little bit tricky, because Mars is in that eighth house, and that shows that, you know, in some ways you figured out how deep a certain bond goes, and now you have to evaluate that bond. And it seems like it's kind of a thing that you're evaluating. There's certain things that work for you and certain things that don't work for you, and you're waiting for the scale to tip one way or the other. That is likely to happen fairly soon. You'll have enough information to make a decision and then move on from that decision. All right, let's talk about two more houses. The 10th, very significant house when it comes to getting things done, and the 12th, which is the what I would call the seat of your creativity. You're very fortunate to have Pisces so near your sign, to have it be in the sign right before your sign, and we are in a lavishly beautiful time of planets moving through Pisces, in particular Neptune, Chiron, and a weird one called Borysici. Let's talk about the 10th first. That's Capricorn. And what you've got going on in Capricorn is a long journey of Pluto across this sign. Now, I've been watching this go on since Pluto first entered Capricorn in the summer approximately of 2008, I think it was. It was right before the presidential election of 2008, and then Pluto retrograded back into Sagittarius, and then retrograded back into Capricorn again, where it was to stay. That was in early 2009, I believe. It's been there ever since. Now, Pluto in the 10th can be very ambitious. It can be ruthlessly ambitious, but I don't usually see it working that way by transit. Usually Pluto through the 10th by transit is about some form of breaking the glass ceiling. And this is something that you actually can do. But more to the point, I think, Pluto in the 10th, especially in Capricorn, is about your being aware of the ways in which the world has changed, therefore facilitating the thing that you do and helping you make your way, because one way to think of it is some element of the world that wasn't ready is now ready for you and for what you do. But you may have to work your way into that position, and where the 10th house is concerned, there is a fair amount of reputation building that has to happen. And I would remind you that reputations are not built overnight, though sometimes they are destroyed overnight. They are very rarely built overnight. Often the people who emerge on the scene as some great new thing that no one had ever heard of, and suddenly they're an overnight sensation, have been working for many, many years. Read book flaps and you'll see how many writers make it at 30 or at 40 or at 50 or at 60 after working many, many years on what they do. And this work of building reputation and of building your professional relationships and building your sense of professional integrity all fall under the general rubric of 10th house work. And Pluto there is helping you. Pluto is a power tool. It is a slow-moving planet, one of the, well, it is the slowest-moving one used by conventional astrologers. It has a 250-year orbit, and it's on about a 15-year visit to Capricorn, which is about half over right now. And so Pluto's guidance, first of all, is saying be patient and persistent. But one thing to remember about Pluto is that it has been in Capricorn for 7 years, and that is a while. And whether or not you've been doing anything with that, there is a picture there of the world having changed and being different than it was, for example, when you maybe wanted to do something similar as a young person, and people said, oh, there's no way that you can do that. I mean, who would have thought that people could make a career making little videos, right, in their house, on a little video camera in their house, and make a perfectly good living making little videos? Well, no one would have thought so 10 or 15 years ago. Now, it's like, well, how do I get in on that? Well, it starts with having good ideas. But in similar ways, the world has changed. Something has opened up. Something is now possible that wasn't possible. And it's very important that you not look at the world through your samskara, through your latent past impressions, through the things that you project onto the world, but rather that you do your best to look at the world as it is and as it is becoming. Not easy for humans trapped in this weird thing called ego consciousness, which tends to see only the past. Okay, one last, speaking of visionary, seeing something besides the past, is Pisces. Pisces is your 12th house, since you have what might be called by some astrologers a natural chart. When we look at it from the solar house standpoint, Pisces, the 12th sign, is associated with the 12th house in your chart. When we get to Taurus, everything moves one house, and I will be looking at, you know, Aries as the 12th house instead of as Pisces. So in your case, you have a extremely creative sign on a house that is typically not viewed as being especially creatively helpful. So Pisces is seen as very creative, but one of the ways that the 12th house diverges from the 12th sign is you'll almost never read something nice about the 12th house. I have nice things to say about the 12th house. Of course, I do live with one foot in the dream time. The 12th house is very much a factor of the dream time, and it is kind of a perpetual, endless well of ideas and of information. The problem with the endless perpetual well is that the water is usually running down a rock and into the ground rather than being harnessed or captured. So you're going to get information. You're going to have ideas just come to you. You're going to have visions that happen. There are going to be things that come to you in dreams. There are going to be things that come to you in altered states of mind. If you're serious about creating what you want to create, I strongly suggest that you either use your little notepad on your phone or keep a notebook, but that you not let these ideas go by. It is very, very easy to let beautiful, useful, innovative, actually original ideas go by, and more often than not, they're gone and then forgotten. And that's the thing that you want to avoid, because the 12th house has that sensation of opening up and then it closes without a trace. And so what you want to do is let the window of the 12th house open, however it happens to open, whether that's through meditation, whether it is through some experience of actually being out making art in some way, or whether it's through a dream that happens, or whether it is through you take a bong hit and then you get a flash of insight, take a second and write it down and leave it where you can find it. And don't forget to write in handwriting that you can understand, because these are the ideas that are your most important resource. Indeed, looking at this chart and all this wonderful activity going on, Jupiter in the fifth, revolutionary Uranus in the first house, and all this technological information coming out of the sixth, and Pluto, the mighty Pluto going through Capricorn, all of this together does not add up to what Pisces in the 12th with these planets in it can offer you. Because ultimately, to do anything, you need a combination of ideas and persistence. But you can have all the persistence in the world and no ideas and not get anywhere. And so your ideas really are your most precious resource. They are the thing that you have access to in a way that no one else has access to. You have a resource that is yours and yours alone. And remember, as well as I've cautioned a few times, there might not be that many people who agree with you. And if they do, great. And if they don't worry about it. It is absolutely no reflection on the quality of your ideas. And if I had to sum up the self-esteem piece of this, that's how I would say it, is you don't need the props or kudos or congratulatory comments or the approval of or the nods or the smiles or the understanding of anyone to accomplish the most. And I would say that the more you subtract yourself from that kind of an equation, the more you're going to get done, and ultimately the more impact it will have, because you don't want other people watering down your ideas, nor do you want to diffuse the energy of them when they are in a nascent stage by revealing them before they are ready. So to the extent that you can, I know as a very outgoing person with Uranus in your first house and with this, you know, passion, it seems, for relating to others going on right now and this insatiable curiosity about others, make sure that you reserve a large swath of space for yourself to do the things that you want to do, irrespective of what others have to say, and use that as a cultivation ground for your self-respect, for gaining an understanding of the value of what you do and what you are creating as you're in the process of doing so. Okay, that is a pretty good roundel of the seasons of your chart as they are manifesting right now. There will be a number of, you know, factors dancing in and out of the signs and houses. There is a big change at the end of August when Mars makes a conjunction to Saturn, your ruling planet makes a conjunction to Saturn. There is a kind of a limit reached, a natural limit of some circumstance or situation or relationship. I've mentioned that earlier on. And you then break free into a whole new field of your life. So if at this point, I'm recording this in early August, if you're feeling like you're trapped in a situation, be patient with that. You don't need to take a violent or aggressive approach to getting out of it. Making conscious decisions would be the best thing to do. But that conjunction is going to happen, Mars to Saturn. It's going to happen in Scorpio. And then Mars, your ruling planet, will move on to Sagittarius, where you'll have a lot more freedom and a lot more sense of your own vision that cannot really be influenced or corrupted by anyone else. If you have questions, save them for the Q&A session associated with Good as Gold. That's going to happen in late August. Give this a couple of listens. If you are Aries Sun, don't forget to look up your rising sign. You need your birth time for that. You can do that on astro.com. And please do listen to your ascendant. If you're curious about partnerships, listen to your opposite sign, Libra. I have no idea what I'm going to say in that sign. I haven't gotten there yet. But that's the sign to find out about your relationships and partnerships. And if you want more insight into the long-term process of how you are building your reputation and certain facts about that, certain energetic qualities about the reputation-building quality of Pluto in Capricorn, listen to the Capricorn reading. All right. On that note, I leave you. This has been great fun. It's awesome to have this project started. It's taken me a little longer than I was planning to do so, but I have been practicing a form of patience because I know I always get the work done, usually get it done pretty good. Thanks for listening. A pleasure to serve as your astrologer. Bye for now.